You're listening to an artist interview from Chirp Radio. You can find more interviews at chirpradio.org/podcasts. I'm so big in love, so crazy in love. I'm making love that I'm saving it. I'm so grateful that you're my mate, and it's not too late to put on your witness. I got a lot of time, as long as you're mine. I'm not gonna fly, I'm staying. Please don't think that I'm lying, my heart's too loud. Just tell me you won't try to break it down. It's true, it's true, it's you. It's you, it's you. It's true, it's true. You're everything that I want to do. It's you, it's you, it's you, it's true. It's true, it's true, it's you. It's you, it's you. You're everything that I want to do.
Hello, Chirp listeners. My name is Dylan, and you are listening to a Chirp Radio artist interview. Today, I am here with Lappy on the Beat, who is a classically trained entertainer based in Chicago. Violin, vocals, and choreography are among the many master talents Lappy wields. They are best known for putting on breathtaking performances and putting out breakthrough projects with undeniable crossover appeal across niche and popular genres, even originating some new ones. And Lappy, I am so excited to be with you here today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
I am excited to be here too. Thank you, Chirp Radio.
Let's dive right in. What is the story behind your artist name, Lappy on the Beat?
So my name, Lappy, L-A-P-I, on the Beat, is short for lapis lazuli, the stone. That's my birthstone. And it is a stone that is associated with knowledge and divinity and communication. And I feel very connected to it based off of the energy, the color of the stone, which is my favorite color, royal blue. And in general, I feel like it is something that is very interpretive in terms of what it could mean. But for me, it's kind of like association just with power. And I feel like I can use that imagery and the name pretty flexibly, and it fits.
I want to touch on your genre blending, and I also want to touch on your street performances too. So you've crafted some pretty groundbreaking projects. What has been the most rewarding part of seeing your genre blending sound gain recognition across various audiences?
Well, thank you for acknowledging my genre blending ability. It's something I didn't really realize until I was like three genres in of my own making. And I think it comes from my background, just having, you know, a diverse experience. I'm Black, born in Oak Park, Illinois, which is a suburb, but it's like right next to the city. So I get this mixed experience of a very urban type of landscape and lifestyle, but also where it's kind of yuppie. And there's a lot of different types of people, not just Black people, not just white people. There's a mix. So there's kind of this melting pot of all these different cultures. I never felt like I had to be anything. And I was able to find myself and find my friend group. And if I didn't like that friend group, I could go to another friend group. Of course, there's still different types of bigotry and, you know, hatred. And I was bullied, you know, a lot in school. It wasn't like all happy fun, but I was still able to know who I was very early in my life because there was an acceptance of different types of people, sexuality, race, gender expression, which was, to me, it was like the norm. So it's always been kind of normal for me to float into different spaces, cultural spaces, and not feel too gatekeeped out of them. Coming from the classical world, I actually wanted to combine genres like EDM and folk music. So when I made Baroque folk, it was a natural sound that came out of me, which was partially due to my classical training and playing all of these classical pieces, but also wanting to make them a little bit more fun and catchy and maybe even radio friendly or poppy. So I created my own formula of making them shorter, repeating certain parts of it, but also having melodies that, you know, interacted with each other, variations of melodies in one song. And these songs, now, since they're my own, are the only songs that I play, and people love them. They are actually, I would say, my classical music I make more money from still than my recorded music, only because I street perform on a daily basis, and that's what I play on the violin.
I love that. You have a new single out called You Got Me. Can you tell me the inspiration behind this new single?
Oh my God, yes. So my new song is a pop R&B kind of bouncy, nostalgic track where I'm singing about love and about being in love with a girl, and this girl has, you know, her doubts about me because of my sexuality and my gender. I'm bisexual and I'm androgynous, and lots of times when dating girls, they feel a little insecure or suspicious that I might leave them for a guy, or that I'm not as interested in them because of my also interest in guys. But it's like kind of pleading with her, saying like, you're the only one I want. If I'm in love with you, I'm in love with you, not just because you're a girl. I'm in love with you because of who you are as a person. And yeah, it's like one of those fuzzy feelings type of songs.
Been featured on the news since you were 16 years old for your street performances, specifically your performances at the Washington Blue Line stop, where you've had so many interactions with people who say that your music brightens their day. Is there a particular moment from your street performances that has stuck with you, one where you felt your music has truly made a difference to somebody?
Yes, I would say on a daily basis. I street perform on the Blue Line, like you said, but I also street perform in Oak Park, my birthplace, and it's still a place that I work. I teach lessons to kids and adults in Oak Park. And I would say on a daily basis, this is something that I have to every day remind myself of when I go out there, that I'm about to change people's lives. Somebody is going to stop and hear my music, and they might cry. They might completely get diverted from whatever they were doing and walk over to me. And so many times on a daily basis, people say, oh my gosh, you're making the world a better place. You just made my day. You know, you make me happy. You're the light of the world. And it's easy for me to think like, oh yeah, I'm some big, huge, you know, influence and superstar. But really, this is something that is a fixture in culture. Street musicians, artists in general, we do provide something, whether it's a service or a product, it is valuable and people really appreciate it. It's a gift, in my opinion. And I am freely giving it to everybody. And when people appreciate it so much to give me something back, I couldn't be happier. It's not something I ask for, but it's something I receive with gratitude.
That's incredible. What are your biggest dreams or goals you're working towards as an artist currently?
I would love to be able to keep street performing forever. Like, that's something that I love to do. But of course, I have like goals of being, you know, a bigger artist or whatever. I want to be able to go to any country that I have fans in. And I want to be able to go and perform for them. And I want to be able to make music that gets heard by those fans. And if I have, you know, fans in some random country, that I'm able to have a direct line of communication with them, and they're able to have a direct line of communication with me. I truly believe in the direct-to-fan model and being able to message people and send them my music directly. That's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. And now the industry is kind of catching up to that. But I feel like that is the way. That's been the way. And I don't want to have this huge, big, you know, larger than life personality where people don't feel like they can approach me and they can talk to me and they can give me, you know, their opinion on me and my music. I feel like being transparent and being authentic is something that is my job as an artist. So why would I put up walls to make it harder for you to connect with me? I want you to connect with me. So I want to connect with as many people as possible around the world. And if that turns out to be Taylor Swift level and I have billions of fans, so be it. Even if it's not like that and I don't even ever crack a million followers on Instagram, at least I would know every single one of them. And I would know that they love my music and they love me. And that makes me happy. I don't think I would want anything more than just a community of truly loyal fans. And I have that. So I think I'm doing it.
Thank you so much for talking with me today, Lappy. My name is Dylan, and you are listening to a Chirp Radio Artist interview with Lappy on the Beat.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for everything. This is an awesome opportunity to be able to share my story, talk about my music. So thank you.
This has been an artist interview from Chirp Radio. You can find more interviews at chirpradio.org/podcasts.
Bye.